It's the sermon I'm going to share this morning. And I just pray that even to use visual things to stimulate your mind, spirits, that the word of God would just cause change in every single person's heart. Father God, we thank you for your life, that which we enjoy as believers, as church God. Lord, I personally can already feel in this room. And I just pray that, Lord, you take us to that next level of you. Under your anointing, under your prompt or leadings, that, Lord, your word will be preached this morning, oh God. Not by power, not by might, but by your spirit. We want to just you up in this room, oh God. Not to lift ourselves up. I just pray that I'll be less of myself, more of you. Lord, even ultimately, I'll be emptied totally and be full of your loving. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we please just turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4? And 2 Kings is after 1 Kings.
Duh.
Which is before 1. It's a popular story that I'm sure a lot of us heard other people preach about or other sermons preached about it, but share what I believe the Lord has been about this over a few days, well, a few weeks actually, on this sermon. Amen. So let's read 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll read from verse 7. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant fought, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons' slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing in the house but a jar of oil. He said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come up the door behind you, then to all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Went from him and shut the door behind her and her, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, brother, and he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, sell the oil and pay your debt, and your sons shall live on the rest. Amen. Message this morning is, tell me, what do you have? Tell me, what do you have in the house? That's the Elisha used based on my New King James Version of the Bible. Woman had lost her husband. She was a widow. One of the sons of the prophet, which means he probably was like an understudy prophet. And he was someone that Elisha definitely... I don't know whether it was her directly or it was him, some kind of debt. Basically, the creditor was out of debt. And, you know, trying to put it in today's kind of life that we live in, I'm thinking maybe as a prophet, he probably was being given and was living off the offering. I don't know. I can't tell you for sure. And probably, you know, she didn't have a job. She had a job for the kids. God forgive me. Why did I say that? Throwing eggs at me. She had a job to look after her kids, but then the only source of their income had run dry. And it had come so bad that, you know, probably she'd market, she would take a loan to buy tomatoes, to buy bread, meat, to buy whatever it is. And it come to, she could not, there was no way of her paying back those loans. And the Bible says to her and come in after, basically the ransom was going to be, the only way she could pay for her loans was to give away her sons as slaves. I'm sure none of you would ever want that if you, that you couldn't pay off, that the bank would say, okay, your kids. I know sometimes you feel like maybe they should just take them, but I would hope, not my kids, come on. My kids know that I love them. Nobody would want that. I'm sure the mothers, the ones that always have this soft heart towards their kids, and men are just too logical, God forgive me, but praise God. Imagine the pain she was going through. Here she had lost her husband. They were living in very, very serious situations. It's not enough money to probably eat, for the kids to get close to school or to the synagogue or wherever the kids went to. Very hard place. What you would say between a rock and a seat, creditors were coming to get the kids. They were going to use them as a ransom. Lateral, if I may put it that way. And you, I'm sure a lot of houses, the bank would ask you, do you have a job? Because they know, okay, well, if you have to be able to service the loan, if you want to buy a car, same thing. They want to see history that you can service the loan. When you want to look for a business, they want to see your financial statements and say, yep, this is what you're below. I don't know how she got into that situation, but we just know that the creditor was coming after her. They were going to take the sons away to take them as slaves. Back as a slave, that's it. I think until maybe the year of Jubilee or is it seven, then you were to be released. According to the days, yeah, Pastor Philip says yes, so he must be yes. Amen. Now, she was in a very hard place, and this woman, she'd lost her husband, who definitely was not a good thing for her. And she cried out to Elisha, you know, this guy loved you. This guy loved the Lord. He was a devoted man. He's gone to be with the Lord. We don't even know what to know how he passed on. But I guess that's life for their time sometimes. And she was in a desperate place. So she asked, I need help. And, you know, Elisha asked, what do you want to do for me? But even before he finished that statement, he then said, do you have in the house? He asked her that question, do you have? And she says, I have nothing. I'll put the but after that. And, you know, sometimes we're like, they ask you a question. Like, when I ask my kids questions, sometimes they answer, but. There's always a but somewhere. There's always something else. But I can imagine this lady, she had probably emptied her house. She'd probably sold things in order to try and repay some of her debts. She probably sold, I don't know, if she had a wedding ring, she would sell that. If she had a trinket, whatever things that her husband may have given her as gifts, she met those creditors. But it wasn't getting better. It wasn't any easier for her. They were still going to come after her. And she actually said she had nothing except, oh, sorry, I couldn't find a jar. Well, I had a jar. I'm not going to advertise for, oh, it's Woolworths again, God. I'll just show you for a while. Just in case anybody wants to. They come. So she had nothing else but a jar of oil. And you look at that and say, what is a jar of oil? Yeah. And, you know, it was anything significant. She didn't think it was anything she could even mention to Elisha. It was just a jar of oil. Now, say whether it's in their lamps, it doesn't say whether it was cooking oil or this is not pure virgin oil, or it was olive oil. It doesn't say whether it was olive oil. And I guess it doesn't really matter what kind of oil. She had that, and Elijah just simply said, go and gather vessels. Go and bring different containers from your neighbors. Go and get stuff from people. You know, she was probably thinking to herself, okay, what is this guy going to do now? You know, yeah, I am in serious debt. I have a lot of things. And he's asking me to go and borrow some more. You know, you think about that to yourself, that he actually asked her to go and, you know, like when we were growing up in Nigeria, and I'm sure someone probably, wherever you grew up, you probably did this. If we ran out of sugar in our, we'll go to the neighbor's house and say, do you guys have any sugar, please? Anyways, I mean, that's how we live. That's how we grew up. Sometimes our car broke down, and we actually went to our neighbor's house to ask them if we could get a car. And it was not, there was nothing, that was just the way we lived. Can you imagine this lady? She probably borrowed a lot of things already, her week's end. Maybe she'd even borrowed some money to try and pay the creditors. So Elisha now tells her, go and get me containers. Go get me as many vessels as you can think of. That's all. I've got vessels. Can you imagine if that's all she brought? That's not faith, right? Then, can you imagine if she brought that? Elisha told her specifically, and it says in the Word of God, as in, don't try to be limited as many as you can. If you read what it says through the end, it says, do not gather just a few. Gather many as you can. So, I'm not going to bring just a few. Abim, can you pantry there? I have some vessels in there. And don't do a boy look. Do a real look. Yeah, there, you can't miss them. If you miss them, vessels. He said, don't spare anything. I can put this there too. Assuming it was empty. Amen. And he told her, not take just a few, take as many as you can. So the miracle was that she was going to line up all those specifically. When you get all the vessels in, when you're finished getting the vessels, you come into the house and you shut the door. He asked her to start pouring basically from her into each vessel. And the Bible says Claire was doing it. She was filling up each vessel. And as they were filling each vessel, putting them aside, they were putting them aside. And that is a miracle. And you know, people will say, wow, can you imagine if all these vessels that are getting filled up?
Like, but can you imagine the effect that would have?
And can you imagine the effect it had on her as a woman who was at her? It was like, it was a lost case. It was no more hope, nothing else for her to be redeemed. And God told her, yeah, see, he's not even sure. Just put it there. And the man of God told her and told her sons, just go get a vessel you can think of. Go and get as many as you can. See?
The boy looked.
See? Go and get more. Don't limit your hand. And that's exactly the same thing that Elisha told him. Don't gather just a few. Whatever you see there, whatever you can get, get in. And you know, this reminds me of even how we approach God. God says he would meet and we come to him with, Lord, I don't want to bring to him. But he says, as far as your faith is, and sometimes that may be all the faith that we need, as small as, this is even all the faith that we have, and he's willing to meet us at the point of us. Now, this woman had a very serious need. She had a very, God, if you don't come through for me, I'm going to lose my sons. That's it. All the hope I have. And obeyed what the Lord said, what the man of God said, of course. Thank you. Creditors don't want, sorry. Amen. So, pouring the oil. She poured it into all the vessels. And I'm sure back in those days, I mean, if I was to go to Bunnings now, I can probably get a rubbish bin that has not been used as a rubbish bin yet, and I can line it up there and at a point. The Bible says that she kept on pouring, and when there was no more vessels, so can you imagine this? You know, I could have easily said, hey, I've been in my wallet, there's $20 there, card, run to Bunnings, go and buy all the containers and bring it here. And that is how Elisha, the word of God, had spoken to her and said, I'm pouring, poured into all the containers, poured into every single shape and size, the oil ceased when there was no more place to pour it into. To Elisha and said, I have done what you said I should do. Happened. And what did Elisha tell her? He said, take the oil, go out what you can, pay off your creditors, and leave off. I'm sure that lady became one of the biggest oil tycoons in the Middle East back in those days. Because when he says you're going to leave off the rest, only God knows. I mean, you know, I think of things like doTERRA. Please. Such people that was dealing in oils. Only God knows what kind of oil, whether it was cooking or whether it was just setting up with your lamps or whatever it is. But she was one of the biggest oil. That day she was in lack. The next day she was in plenty. Not enough to meet her needs, but she was overflowing. Because I had sold what she could, paid off the creditors, paid off every that she owed money to, and she lived off the rest. Day before, she was a pauper. The next day, plenty. You know, the day before, she was scared. The day before, she was in lack. The next day, she was in plenty. How God wants to and will, regardless of where our faith is, regardless of what level or where we fall. And you know, even as I share this, I asked the question, like Elisha asked that lady. No, first, one thing, oh yeah, he asked the lady, he said, what is in your house? And you know, some of us, we think and we look at ourselves like that, like, I can't contribute anything. I can't do anything. When, as a church, we ask ourselves, we're a small church, what can we do? But I'm sure there's that jar of all that God has given us that we just have to ask, where is it? You know, between the type don't have anything and then the but. Maybe she had to actually go and say, okay, what do I have in this house? And, you know, it's just so timely that we told everybody, bring things that you don't need anymore that you have that can still. And look at that. Everybody brought their treasures. I heard that yesterday between some women who were trying to buy what you may have. Other people think it's treasure. What you think you don't need. Anymore. You know, basically we were given the call, anything you want to sell, house, bring it in. And we did that yesterday. And can you imagine that? Sitting in our houses doing nothing, we raised $500. What is in your house? What is in your house? Or what is in there? And I see that even in here at Zion Church, a few of us, what is it that we have? Say that again over and over again. I'm sure I've shared this before, that is unique. We used to reach out to every single person around us. I mean, just in the small people, we should have the garage sale more often, consistently. Maybe every 2 months or something, so people know it's a regular event. And only people was the church. People start getting familiar with the church and not think, oh, who are these people? I was even talking to Pastor Philip yesterday. He said some people were waiting at about 11 to attend the garage sale. So So, people have needs for things. People, of course, are looking for bargains and all that.
On which
you can start reaching out to the community. The small jar that she thought she had, that she thought was insignificant, you know, watching over the last few series about the ascent to Mount Zion. It's our small that we seek the face of God in holiness, in right. We're running after Him, and we pray Him as we obey Him. We listen to His word as He commands. And that's one thing about this story. The key here was that the woman had to listen to every single bit of instruction that told her. Basically, He told her, go and get vessels. She did that, and they lined them up. The next thing she said, shut the door. Then I asked myself, why they shut the door? Is that so that neighbors will come and ask questions, see God doing the miracle? I don't know why. When I think about shutting the door in our day and age, I'm thinking, you don't have to tweet, you don't have to post things on Facebook. There's something that God would tell you specifically not to do. And we must be ready to listen to that. We must heed to why He would tell us to the door. I know, yet He always tells us to, even when we go shut the door as well, in that secret place. And a lot. I mean, it's a scripture that whatever is done in secret, open. Whatever you do on your knees, where you are praying God for, those times you spend studying the word of God, God would in Jesus' name, echo you in a good way. In a good way, reach out to other people around you in blessing. Amen. The house, as a church, I believe this scripture is probably very timely for us. Please, can you just turn to Obadiah? Is that there? Obimus and Judah. So verse 17. If you're there, say amen. On Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And you know, we have our name as Zion Fellowship. I know for sure the pastors, for sure, every Zion, we claim it as ourselves and as our promise for this church. In Mount Zion, there will be deliverance. And I've said this before, where people walk in and they'll be healed of every ailment that they walk in with. And I like that beautiful testimony that Sister Mary shared this morning. That was losing her voice and she was thinking she probably couldn't sing. Amen. That is what we want. We want people with illnesses to walk in through those doors and be healed. And you probably say, oh, but we haven't all gone to Bible school. We don't need all that stuff. You just need the anointing. And I think that oil signifies is what? In the anointing. Amen. And that may be all that we have. That may be all we need. Just that anointing to believe and trust God. That even ourselves, even as we come as empty vessels, even as we of emptying ourselves of every single thing that is not of God, that He will use Mount Zion as a house of friends, as a house of hope, as a house of healing. It's not too difficult to think through that. I mean, look at this woman. She was between a rock and a hard place. And just a jar of oil around that she could live off it. I'm sure she probably had she was selling oil. And, you know, when she sells, maybe she would then buy at a lower price. And she probably had this whole business system going on. Because it says, live on it. Which means for the rest of their lives, they had no lack. And you know, we work 9 to 5, we earn a salary, we buy a house, buy a car, we put savings behind, and we have superannuation, and we live off that. Our business is we run the business, we make money, put the money aside, buy homes, and we live off that. This woman was taught how to do that, just like that, through the many situations and circumstances where it's very hard for you now. You don't know where your next breakthrough is going to come from. I would certainly ask God, what is that jar that you have given to me? What is that? Is it a skill? Is it a whatever special wisdom, special grace that you have that God can use you out of that difficult situation? I know people are so gifted in so many different things. So many, I mean, some of my goodness, it would be so good if you opened a restaurant. Some of you are so good in just hospitality and welfare. You can easily run a hotel and you make lots of money. Different gifts and unique gifts and different stuff. And that may be the jar of all that in you, for you to just tap into, say, Lord, and then He multiplies the effects. You know about the sense of the board 10 And, you know, the one that we won just went and said, oh, I didn't want anything to happen to you, and I didn't want you to be upset with me if I lost it.
Do anything with it.
But the one with the 5 multiplied it. The one with the 10 multiplied it as well. That's what God has done. That whatever that jar of oil that he's given to us, whatever we think, oh, it's so insignificant, he would use for his glory to be a blessing to your family. I mean, some people don't like you when you talk about finances and stuff like that, but this was a... And I know in our situations and circumstances in this day that we live in, we have, some of us have financial issues, some of us don't. Pray. God is there to meet every need that you have. The need for a job, God is there to meet. Pay off some of your bills that may have happened through your carelessness. Is it a need to pay off or to start the old one that you're driving is going to fall apart? You know, whatever it is, he's here to meet our needs. And, you know, as long as you know all these things, he will meet our needs. Amen. He will meet our needs. And we just have to remind him to say, Lord, here I am, and I'm empty vessel. I available to be used by you. Show me. And you know, it's a jar of oil. Like I said earlier, we don't even know what the jar of oil is in our life. If we reach out to him, he will show you. He would illuminate it to us. Say that to us as a body, as a church, to us as individuals as well. And you know, illustration. Tell me, what is in the house? Sometimes you may need to find things that are in the house that are of no as well. There's some things in your house that you need to bring to church to sell in the garage sale. There's some things that turn off God. There's some things that they shouldn't end of story. And I would say individually look into that and find out what is in the house. What is in our house is going to stop us and be a stumbling block from reaching out to God. Just, you know, take that inward look into our hearts and lives to see what it is that may be from getting to God. Amen? When you leave this place today, just ask yourself, even, I don't care how, and like I've said this so many times, it's you're never too young, you're never too old, to actually find out, Lord, show me what that jar is. Show me what jar you have in my house. Or show me things that I should not have in my life. It could be friends, it could be stuff, it could be things, it could be time. Whatever it is that is taking up your time, that is not letting you spend enough time with, is definitely something that should be taken out of your house. Amen. And to myself, and I say that to tell myself and to remind myself as well to spending time with God and to seeking his face. Amen. Just like how the Lord kept the flow of oil going, as long as there were animals, he will continue to meet all our needs. As long as we spend time in prayer, we spend time fasting, we see his face and looking to him and saying, Lord, just I want to make myself holy and available for you. He will meet that need. Amen. He will meet that need. And I tell you, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing possible with God. Even if all, the only jar we have is the comforter. That one that the Bible says raised up Christ dead. That same Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. That same healing to happen on every side. It's as far as our eyes can see. It's, or as far as our faith. Is it a medium-sized, biggest faith that we have? To see God meet us at the point of... And, you know, even as I put all these things here to just show you, it's getting across to you in a way that you tell yourself to stretch out of my faith. It's how far can you stretch out your faith? Is your faith a small communion cup faith, or is your a large green vessel faith? Or is that blue? So whatever it is, you just ask God to just open your eyes so that nothing is impossible with him. Amen. Because it's what that with God, all things are possible. And, you know, even as I round this up, I believe I'm speaking to some people here who need God to heal you or to heal your children or to heal your business or to heal your job situation or to find you a job or to give you an idea to start a business, whatever it is, power of oil that God has, that is like a, even though that was there, oh, I didn't even see it. It was very insignificant. You know, sometimes one thing happens a lot that I've noticed. Sometimes you do some things that people say, wow, you're so gifted. You know, no, I'm not. Sometimes it may take other people to tell you. Just ask yourself, what are the things that other people have told you that you're so good at? Without thinking, you just do it and it just comes to you naturally. That may be of oil. And I cannot just, when you find out what that jar is, just ask God to give you wisdom. Even as this lady went to meet Elisha, some of you are seeking for counseling and for some in certain situations and circumstances in your life. And I'm sure one or two things to do. and you may refuse to do them because you just want to be stubborn or you just because you don't think it's right. Like this lady obeyed the man of God. Just obey those who God has put in authority over us now. Just listen to, as long as, I mean, they're not telling you to go jump off a cliff, I'm sure they're not going to. Listen to what they have to say. Obey. Every detail. Elisha told her, gather the vessels, go and get neighbors. Don't gather just a few. When you bring them in, and then when you shut the door, start pouring out. She followed every single, gives us a record of what she did in Shehem and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. As he had told her in verse 4, she did it in verse 5. And that is whatever God would tell you, even those of you who then find what jars of oil, that what it is, that key thing that you have in your life that God is just over and over and over again, and bless people around you as well. When you find out that thing, obey the instructions right to the left to do with it. And I say this as well, we need to continue to just open our eyes, you know. And if some of you think that Zion has a peculiar jar of oil, please come and tell Pastor Philip and tell Pastor Irene, see if it's something that the church can move into, or if it's an area can operate in terms of reaching out. And going back to ourselves again, you know that in Luke chapter 5, can we just quickly turn there, please? Luke chapter 5, verse 39. Okay. In verse 36, then he spoke a parable to them, no piece from a new garment on an old one, on otherwise, also the piece that was taken out of the new one does the old. And then 37 says, no one put in skins, or else the new wineskin will burst the wine and be spilled. And the wineskins will be, but new wine must be put into new wineskins and are preserved. New wine. New. And you know, one thing I constantly ask myself, I had lunch with Brother Al Philip on Wednesday. It wasn't lunch, I wasn't eating lunch, but yeah, we had Brother Albert ate all the lunch. And asking me about me preparing for this sermon, and he says, you've done it so many times, you must be so confident. And I said, nah. Time come to preach, I feel nervous. I think, is this bring out the tomatoes and the eggs? Is this the day they're going? But at the same time, I also ask God for fresh, because whatever I preached the last time I preached should be ready for a new anointing to speak to the people of, to speak to them where they are at now. So I pray constantly for an outpouring of his anointing. Same thing, even my discourses, whenever we ask them and lead worship, you think, they're so calm. We always have to pray that God help us when we come. Because we count these things as they're heavy. They're heavy loads, if I may put it that way. To come and lead God's people into God's prayer. So in those days, if you did the wrong thing as a holy of holies, you'd come out dead if you did the wrong thing. We don't see it as serious as that now, but we take it that seriously, delicate thing. It's a very holy thing that we must leave, you know. Make sure we're consecrated. Make sure we're not leaving one thing here and doing something else when we get back home. It is very, we maintain that. And likewise, as children of God, to new wine into old wineskins, whatever needs to get out of, need to do to purge yourself, whatever you need to empty out of that house, that temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. It says that in 1 Corinthians 6. See ourselves as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Then you must keep the temple pure. Amen? What the temple looks at, what the temple wears, what the temple goes to, you must keep the temple pure at all times. And even as we seek his face and we're looking for solutions to different lives, let us check what is in our house, what is in this temple, what is in this mind, what is in wrong, and get rid of all that. So that we make room, so that pouring out, when he takes that anointing and starts pouring into us, it will be filling. We will be filled up. The best way also is to keep emptying ourselves so that he continues to pour. It would never cease. Like this woman, she said, told her sons, go and get more. They were like, there's no more. All the neighbors have given us everything they have. Down the road said that we should go away, we shouldn't come back. You know, whatever it is, there was. And after that, the oil ceased. And I just pray we live our lives that we would always have empty vessels. Lives would be empty vessels that God can fill up over and over and over again. You know that you pray for the sick today, get healed of cancer, and you go the next day and for someone who has
blind, you pray for somebody who is deaf, and you pray for someone who womb or whatever it is. There's nothing too difficult for God. And I round up that we all just get that. As simple as it may look, the oil will never, as long as the vessel is available. Amen. There's one thing you take away, the oil will never run dry as long as it is ready. As long as the vessel is cleaned out and it goes. And you know, the whole essence of that outpouring of the oil was a miracle in itself. And then, you know, I look around this room, all of us are miracles. Are miracles. I'm sure if I was to give each person the mic here and to just share time when you feel so strongly that God definitely saved you. Come out with so many of real life changing is, and we are all a testament that God is and doing marvelous things. Amen. So even as so this morning, I just pray that as a church, we will find that jar of oil. As individuals, we'll find that jar of oil. Find those jars of oil. We would absolutely obey God. He wants to do in and through us. In and through us. And whatever it is that people have told you that you're very good at, that you never noticed yourself, that may be what God wants to use as your jar. What God wants to use to be a blessing to you and to be a blessing around you. And, you know, it's a business. It's not a war. It's just a lot of work. And I have to ask myself, okay, I need to service this guy and do. Sometimes you're busy running the business and somebody calls you and you get a new job and all that. And you ask yourself, wow, this has to be God. I don't spend so much on advertising and all that, but the word gets around that I'm praise God that I can do that. And I'm getting more clients. That is just God's blessing upon me. And I see that worship ministry and what I do as another jar that God has skills. I've gone to school, been educated, and I know how to put them up and all that stuff. And God is now using them. And of course, based on that. Likewise with you, whatever it is that God has blessed you with, what you're retired and you're thinking, oh, God, I have nothing else to offer. You're right. There must be a jar somewhere. There must be a jar that you have not used. Ask God, show me where that little jar is that you're going to glory. Amen.